Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
How about this day we got working on Saturday for you? We had great NHL matchup, Penguins and Bruins. We got Duke, Carolina. We got Suns and Celtics. We got UFC 299 in
the
Miami.
Sugar Show.
Just set aside your entire day Saturday and watch sports with us. Meanwhile, before we start a new hour, hey, RC and Kmart, halftime last night in Cleveland of Celtics-Cavs, Joey Chestnut ate 39 pierogies in 2 minutes.
Bro, that's nasty, dog.
Yeah, that is.
That's a whole situation. Yeah.
Also, too, like, how do you figure out you have that talent? Like, where are you in your life that people are like, say, bro, you ain't really, like, that fat, but you can eat a lot. You should start going into eating competition. And then you have, like, stuff all over his face.
We did a lot of that stuff on Mike and Mike of the International Federation of Competitive Eaters. We were,
Why is that a real thing?
One may ask that question.
Is he an athlete?
That was debated, well, we pretty much debated that like once a week. One way or another, if there was ever such a competition I was going to get involved with, it might have involved Grey Goose. And with that, we tell you, we come to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose.
There we go.
Anyway, that was not the most interesting thing that happened in Cleveland last night. Comeback of the night. RC, did you see this? So the Celtics lose a game like once every month or so. They had won 11 straight games. Now they're honoring the Kelce brothers last night, bobblehead night. They're from Ohio in Cleveland. All that is well and good. When Jason Tatum hits this bucket with 9 minutes to go, the Celtics are ahead by 22 points.
Game over. They're about to ruin Jason Kelce's retirement on the first night of it.
That's exactly right. But instead, D-Wade brings the Cavs.
And we're talking about Dean Wade of Kansas State University. He was absolutely phenomenal in the fourth quarter.
Vintage D-Wade. That's a 20-4 run that makes it a three-point game.
He like booms for him, though. He's not like a vintage one.
Look at this. And then that we're going up the way. And then we got George Niang in the corner. This is a 25-6 run. This game is tied. 23 seconds left. Watch D-Wade fly through the air here. Right. Oh.
Green, he jumped from inside the little circle.
Here we go. Final seconds, down by one. Jason Tatum lets the clock run down, which he would later acknowledge was a mistake. Then he gets the shot up. They call the foul. They review it. They overturn it. And the game ends, Cleveland wins. What do you think?
I mean, we had Austin Rivers on in the A block, and he talked about the natural shooting motion of a guy with a fadeaway, that sort of causes some sort of a collision. But when you look at the call being made, I don't believe you can then overturn it. If this was something that you let Darius Garland do in live action and you don't call the foul, then I think everybody goes home and it's not one of those situations to where you're questioning the official after calling the foul, then rescinding
it. That's the big issue.
It doesn't make it, well, Kmart,
no, as
not,
no goon.
You were
yeah,
a very
no.
physical player
yes,
back
was,
in your eighth grade days, so I understand. You have a different idea of what should and shouldn't be a foul.
Did she just say she was the noted goon?
She was the Charles Oakley of her basketball team. But now let me just underline again what RC just said. I'm not sure how you make that call on the court and overturn it.
That's the problem.
Based on what we just saw, that is a very, very questionable.
What's hard to believe about me being a goon?
Decision that is made. No, don't get me sidetracked here. I got Jason Tatum.
Yes.
In the meantime, they had a 99.9% chance to win this game with a 22-point lead in the fourth quarter. They had won 364 straight games when leading by 20 in the fourth, so that is a wild
finish. Well, I think that's the problem, and that's also why you're trying to plant your stake for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Because when you
give up a 20-point lead to a Cleveland Cavalier team that doesn't have Donovan Mitchell on the court, and then because of that sort of stress, because of giving up that lead, now one of the best players in the entire NBA, Jason Tatum, makes a mental mistake, which he mentions after the game, saying I shouldn't have allowed the clock to run down. Those are the things that scare you about Joe Mazzulla and the Boston Celtics, especially with a guy like Dame that can close.
By the way, in RC's new deal, he's going to be on NBA Today. Did I mention that? Malika, we got RC is ready for you. Okay, let's go to the NFL. We are 5 days away from free agency, and one of the biggest names, of course, is Russell Wilson. The Broncos informed him he will be released after a tumultuous 2-year stint, to say the least. Despite the disappointing tenure, Robert Griffin III yesterday had a lot to say about Russell Wilson. Here's some of it.
They brought Russell Wilson in to win Super Bowls in Denver. He didn't accomplish that. That was an utter failure. But to say that he is not a starting quarterback in the NFL, I feel like I'm losing my mind, like I'm losing my senses. Russell Wilson is a bona fide starter in the NFL, and we got to stop talking about him in the sense of, oh, he's just washed and he shouldn't be playing anymore.
Okay, so this was a fascinating debate. We talked about it a little earlier on this show for those who didn't see it, and I want to make sure I'm clear in the point that I'm making and the place that I agree with RG3. So, look, first and foremost, that thing was a disaster of biblical proportion. It's going to turn out to be one of the worst transactions in history. And when something happens that's that bad, there's plenty of blame to go around. I guess what I'm saying is the Broncos brought in a person. It should not have come as a surprise to them who Russell Wilson was, what Russell Wilson was, what his skill set is, what he does well on the field, and what he doesn't do well on the field. And so I put much more blame on the Broncos as an organization for the epic failure, the total, colossal, disastrous, historic failure that was this acquisition. I put as much of it, if not more, on the organization than I do on the player.
I believe that's the conversation we aren't having enough. That Russell Wilson, after a decade in Seattle, bringing that team a Super Bowl, getting them to another one, was so easily let go. That the Denver Broncos didn't think that something smelled a little fishy by Pete Carroll making that decision. And so now when you bring him in, I said immediately, bringing Russell Wilson into a team at this point in his career doesn't guarantee you a championship, because Russell Wilson alone has not led a team to a championship. It was about the running back. It was about the defense. And so now you bring him into a dysfunctional situation. For as cool as Nathaniel Hackett is, and I enjoyed meeting him, he's a nice dude, a good dude. He wasn't ready to run an organization. And so now you have Russell Wilson, who can only play one way, or at least had shown us to that point, and you couldn't make that adjustment. Because of that, the entire view, not only of the player, but the person changed. Like now all of a sudden, like, let's be real, we're treating Russell Wilson like his off the field issues isn't being a little different. Like his off the field issues are criminal. Like if you bring him into a locker room, you bring in a cancer that people can't function around. And that's not who he is. The one thing that RG3 said was right, and you got to listen to his words. He said he's a starter in this league.
Right.
He is, because there's 32.
Right. That's fine. And that debate is a totally reasonable one. Exactly what Russell Wilson as a player is anymore, I'll defer to you guys. You know infinitely more about that than I do. But here's the other thing I know. If you're a professional football organization, and Lewis, this sort of dovetails back to the conversation we had about the Giants, and you have just given up all of these draft picks and all of this money for Russell Wilson, and the first coach doesn't work out, then you go out and hire a coach who wants no part of him. I mean, it was no question. You go out and hire a coach who doesn't do any of the things that Russell Wilson does well. You go out and get a coach who had the opposite. The only similarity between Drew Brees and Russell Wilson is they're both short. Other than that, no two players have ever been more different in the history of
the NFL.
In the
way they play the game.
So they didn't try and salvage it. They gave up on it after 1 year, after moving the heavens and the earth and the stars and whatever the expression is, to get him, Lewis. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, no question. Look, I think go back to the beginning now. Go back to who Denver really wanted when they hired Nathaniel Hackett. Was Russell Wilson really the guy who they wanted in the first place? No, it wasn't. True. It's the quarterback who's at the place where you love right now, Greeny, and that's the New York Jets. That's who they wanted. Then all of a sudden, panic sets in. Look, overall, We know that there's a history in the NFL of teams overpaying for quarterbacks because of what they represent and their importance to the overall football team. Well, that's going to be magnified infinitely when you don't get the guy you want. Then you have to go out and then you're going, look, we got to do something. So then you look at Russell and then you wind up inflating what his impact is going to be on the football team and thus inflate the price that you're going to pay for him, inflate the kind of contract that you're going to wind up signing him to, which they didn't need to sign him to the extension that they signed him to. So not only did they overpay from a compensation standpoint, then they redid his deal. So now they have compounded that problem even more. And see, now you're expecting him to perform at a level that is commensurate with what you get from a guy like Patrick Mahomes. And Russ has never been that guy. So they didn't manage expectations from the get-go. He wasn't even the guy that they were supposed to have from the get-go. So you're right. Overall, we're expecting things from Russ that he was never going to give them anyway. Because he wasn't even their first choice. So what do you expect to happen in this situation?
But that's the interesting point, because we're looking right now, you got Kirk Cousins available. You've got Baker Mayfield. You've got Justin Fields out there. So if you're a team looking at our roster and thinking, how do we improve it? What type of quarterback do we want? Russell is attractive. He's most attractive because of how much you have to pay him, which is, I don't want to say next to nothing, but comparatively speaking.
It is next to nothing.
That is why he's most attractive. So any team that needs a quarterback, you're going to look at, okay, can we get Kirk? Can we get Baker? Can we trade for Justin? What can we do? Okay, because RC, as you laid out, Seattle, they moved on. Mm. Broncos, as Lou said, they wanted Aaron, but ended up with Russell. Like, this is the situation now that Russell is in. So can he be a starter? Yes. But if you are a prospective team, you need to make sure that you've got pieces around him where he can be a point guard facilitator. You're not asking him to be what he once was. But can Russell also accept that he's not what he was and still be?
So I feel like Russell accepted that, though. I feel like he accepted this year. I'm going to play football, take the check down, use my legs when I have to, push the ball to Cortland Sutton when I have the opportunities, because that's what Sean Payton wants to do. He did all of those things. Sean Payton never wanted this dude.
Absolutely.
This was from the beginning the worst marriage of stylistic play and the worst marriage of personality that you could possibly have.
Sean Payton was criticizing him before he even got there.
But this is the issue. This is what went wrong. To Lewis's point, and I know Lewis wants to talk. To Lewis's point is this. They wanted Aaron Rodgers. They wanted Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
So instead of saying, like, they were out, they said, this is who I want to be married to. This is who I want to have a relationship with. When they couldn't get him, instead of saying for a year, it's okay to be alone, they was like, we got to go get somebody else. We got to go find our number two.
Yes.
Right? We got to move on because love is blind. And when they got Russell Wilson, they were just trying to fill a spot that they thought they'd have somebody else in. And that's the problem.
Lewis, go ahead.
Yeah, look. I mean, I was watching Kimberly's reaction there. I kind of got sidetracked, but you know what? No, honestly, what this is that's exactly it. See, they wound up overreacting to not getting what they initially thought that they were going to get and what they had their heart set on. And look, this is what I was going to say. Look, don't ever discount the fact that things become personal in the NFL. They just do. I've seen it happen. I've seen coaches have preconceived notions about players, and they have it set in their mind that this guy is this way. This guy is not going to jive with the way I like to coach, with the way I like to install, like the way I like to correct. And you know what? They never allow it to work from the get-go, even if there was a chance for it to work. And you know, to me, not having been there, and I don't like to delve into this arena too often, not having been there and not having asked Sean Payton like this, he already had it in his mind that Russ was going to be a certain way and it wasn't going to be the way he liked. And you know what? That happens. It happens. And the best thing they can do now and the easiest thing for Sean to do is say, hey, look, I wasn't here when they brought him here anyway, so let's just get him up out of here. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what kind of hits we take on GetUp for this transaction, because I didn't do it and I didn't want it in the first place.
Yeah. And that's where they find themselves. So super quickly, and you see this, the report from Shefty just a few minutes ago on Twitter that they've given him, he's got all the permission in the world. He is a free agent for all intents
and
purposes.
They don't care.
Man, they like, hey, man, you go out find sister wives. We don't care.
You have
side chicks.
Babe.
We ain't tripping.
Yes, exactly that. I think that's exactly what Shefty tweeted. In the meantime, we'll see where he winds up. And then we get to this. So Dak says he feels attacked. Stephen A. has a hilarious response. You will hear that coming up. Plus, should the prospective number one pick in the draft sit for a year? One former quarterback says yes and explains why. You need to hear this. Are you listening, Chicago? Don't miss this next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, a game of QB quick reads. Here we go. RC, do the New York football Giants need a reset at quarterback?
Absolutely. We knew that the New York football Giants needed a reset last year when they signed Daniel Jones. The thing that's different is, how do you get a reset when you're now strapped to this quarterback, at least for this season? We saw Brian Daboll work miracles with this team in his inaugural season as the head coach. Last year didn't work well, and a huge part of that was Daniel Jones and his regression.
Absolutely. Kmart, yeah. Let's go to maybe the most sought-after free agent. Yep. What's the ideal landing spot for Kirk Cousins?
All right, Greeny. I still think Minnesota is. Sometimes money isn't the most important thing. It is for me, but maybe not for Kirk. But then again,
no, it always has been for Kirk, too.
That's the thing. If it's not Minnesota, the Falcons obviously make the most sense because of the roster that they have. And obviously his wife has ties to Georgia. It just makes more sense.
Everyone coming out of the combine seemed to suggest Cousins to Falcons.
Yes, drawing that straight line right to Georgia.
It feels like it's happening. In the meantime, Lewis, I've got a lot of people saying this. Is Jaden Daniels going to wind up being the best quarterback in this year's class?
I think he is, right now, he is head of the rest because of his ability to play both in structure, out of structure, and be a dynamic runner, the likes of which can take it 90 yards, 99 yards to the house. There's nothing that he can't do. He can throw a velocity, throw with touch. He has great vision. He's good with decisions. And he is a threat all by himself, which leads me to believe he gets to the right place, has the right health, stays healthy, continues his progression. He will be the best quarterback from this draft for sure.
So here's the way this thing works, right? Over the next 2 months, you're going to hear from Lewis and from Booger and from Mel and from all of our other analysts and everybody else around the National Football League. I like this guy. I like that guy. There's only one person whose opinion matters, of course, and that is Ryan Poles of the Chicago Bears. They have the first pick in the draft, and they are widely expected to use it on Caleb Williams. I want you to hear from Ryan Leaf, former quarterback. We all know the history there, but he's got good perspective on some things. He was on with our old friend Dan Patrick yesterday. This is how he sees Caleb Williams.
If they take him, I would be you better be under the understanding that you're going to sit him this year. And that's not going to happen. So
why would you sit him?
Well, because 75% of what he made him so great in college is not transferable to the NFL. He's not going to be able to do that. He needs some time. He needs to get under center. He needs to understand how to throw on time, on platform, from the pocket. What he can do off platform is what makes him so exciting. But he is a guy that I don't think can be a starter on day one.
So that's fascinating. I've heard a lot of people say that about Drake May, Lewis. I have not heard a lot of that about Caleb Williams. I come in right to you. What do you think of that analysis?
Look, I think his playmaking ability absolutely transfers to the NFL. There's no question about that. His off-structure, out-of-structure, off-platform ability is something that is going to transfer to the NFL. It just cannot be the majority of the environment in which he lives. It can't, every play cannot be like we're out back and he's just kind of saying, hey, look, you run down there to the trash can, you run over here, and I'm just going to run around back here and make something happen. Now, you have to also look at USC's tape and dig into it in depth and understand that sometimes he did this, a lot of times he did this out of necessity because this offensive line wasn't good. The route structure was not such that it was getting people open on a consistent basis. So sometimes he had to take it into his own hands. Then that's not to say that there weren't times that he played on time in rhythm and the ball came out of his hands nicely and he put it in nice spots, because he did do that as well. He's just going to need to have more of that. And I think the team at the NFL that he goes to needs to make sure that around him is enough of a supporting cast that he can live in that environment and that it doesn't have to be a highlight reel type of play every single time or the majority of the time like it was at SC. So to just say that, you know, Caleb played that way because he wanted to, I think is inaccurate. And to say that it won't transfer to the NFL is inaccurate too, because we've seen it. And the guy who right now is the standard has shown you in the NFL there is room for that kind of electricity and that kind of playmaking ability. Mm-hmm. It just cannot be who you are on a regular basis.
Right. If Caleb Williams isn't starting day one and isn't a highly successful NFL quarterback, it's the coach's fault and the organization's fault. I got to see Caleb Williams two times in person, and leaving the stadium, I said, the thing that they're going to try to use against him is that he doesn't play on time. You know why he didn't play on time, Greeny? Because he was better than everybody else. Because if he caught the snap and everybody ran and everybody was covered, you not only couldn't get him on the ground, but then he could throw it from anywhere he wanted to throw it on the field and put it in between the two numbers on the jersey of his receiver. I'm going to bring up three names right now. Oh. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Yeah. I'm going to start with Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. Immediately, once he's drafted amongst quarterbacks that are in the NFL, Lamar Jackson is going to be the only one that scares you more with his legs.
Ooh.
That can move the pocket the way he can.
Really?
That can be elusive in the backfield the way he can. Now, I'm going to bring up two other names. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Immediately upon being drafted, when we're talking about arm talent, when we're talking about off-platform throws, when we're talking about being able to put the football anywhere you want to put it on the field, that's the tier he's on. Now, you tell me this. If you see a dude and those are the people you're comparing him to, you're going to say, we're going to draft him first overall because of all of those reasons. But you know what, dog? Don't trip. Sit down. I wish you would. You do that, that's going to be malpractice. You should be fired. Your wife should never get a job. And your kid should be kicked out of school.
Okay, there's so much to dive into there. Let me come to you, though, Kmart.
Yes.
You were just at the combine.
Yes.
As I said, only one team's opinion
matters
on all this. Is the world convinced they're taking Caleb, right? I mean, that seems to be the impression I'm getting.
Right now, yes. Now, I actually, in terms of the Ryan Leaf comment, I talked to an assistant GM yesterday, and he just wrote back, that's a complete joke. The criticism of Caleb, I think in a lot of these young quarterbacks and these players right now, is they just seem to be old school way of looking at these guys. They're just different. This new generation of players is different. But talking to a source who, you know, was with one of the teams that interviewed Caleb, he said, this kid's all ball. So maybe he's different. Maybe he's going to say, you know what, I don't want to do these drills. I don't want to do the medical at the combine. And so that may rankle some people the wrong way. But guess what? These athletes are different, and these teams that are drafting them need to understand that. And understand, you are looking at the tape. The tape does not lie. And you have to be very clear about what you're getting and how you set him up for success. I think they'll be fine with Caleb.
Look, if he's a combination of Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes,
I think they'll be okay.
We're going to be doing really well here.
That would also make him an alien.
I have a lot, more to say about that. In the meantime, the clock keeps ticking in Chicago. As they're getting set to make that decision, are they losing leverage every day for the single biggest move they have to make now? Why hasn't it happened yet? Kimberly, we'll get to the bottom of it next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Bottom of the hour on Get Up. The next game is called Right or Wrong. Hey, Lewis Riddick, if I said the Patriots should pass on a quarterback at number 3 and instead trade back, is that right or wrong?
I think that could be possibly right. And then I think a lot of it depends on what Alex Van Pelt, the new offensive coordinator's assessment of Mac Jones actually is based upon the situation he has been in. And when they look at this roster in totality, they may feel as though, hey, look, we have a lot of needs and we can win with Mac Jones. And maybe he can regain some of his rookie form if we just helped him out a little bit and didn't have so much dysfunction around him.
That's an interesting perspective. We'll see what they do. RC, how about your old team? If I said the Steelers not pursuing a quarterback to start this year, would that be right or wrong?
Well, it would be wrong because, as Lewis mentioned earlier, they probably need to fill that quarterback room out with only having Kenny Pickett on the roster. But they need to pursue someone that pushes Kenny Pickett, someone that could possibly be the starter going forward, or give him the sort of competition that gives you confidence in him as the quarterback and also a guy that thinks he can lead your team for the future of the franchise.
At the risk of sounding like a broken record, I continue to say that person should be Justin Fields. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of.
Which, Kmart, brings me to you. Mm-hmm. If I said the Bears waiting all the way to the draft to trade him, would that be right or wrong?
Greeny, that would be wrong, but it also might not be their choice. Let's be honest. Ryan Poles would rather move on from Justin Fields before free agency begins, which is coming up, right? However, he has to exhaust all areas and all avenues when it comes to a compensation standpoint. And other teams know that. Other teams also know that Kirk Cousins is available, Baker is available, Russell Wilson, who's very cheap, is available. So when you look at the market, teams are trying to figure out where can I give up the least to get the best product, and that, I think, is slowing down this process.
Well, so we are rapidly approaching. The day after tomorrow will be the Friday after the combine. Mm-hmm. That's the day that they made the trade last year. That's mm-hmm. the day they traded the first pick to Carolina, and we all saw what ensued from that. So if that's going to be sort of a roadmap, free agency begins, let's call it next Monday, because that's when the legal tampering begins. It officially begins on Wednesday. Lewis, I've said it. If I owned an NFL team, you would be my general manager. So explain this to me. If you're the Bears, does it behoove you to hold on to Justin as long as you can and make sure you maximize the compensation? Or does it behoove you to make this move as quickly as you can because the offers are only going to get worse?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I think it's kind of like the way the first 48 hours of free agency usually go, right? That's when the worst deals are made on the parts of teams, meaning that they wind up paying the most for players. Okay, after that, it becomes a buyer's market after that, because then prices start to come down. So what I'm getting to is this. The longer you have to wait to trade Justin Fields, I think unless a team finds itself in an absolutely dire situation, I think the price is going to go down for Chicago, and the compensation they're going to get is it's just going to become less and less and less, because they're going to know, look, if they draft Caleb Williams, they're not going to want Justin Fields hanging around. They're not going to want him in the locker room. It's not going to so that whole notion of, well, why don't you just draft Caleb and keep Justin around? That's not going to work. You're not going to want those two guys in the same room. Are you kidding me? We're talking about locker room dynamics and culture. What kind of culture you think that would create? There's no doubt that Ryan Poles is going, please somebody step up right now and give me the best deal that I can get this done. And then so I can kind of operate without having that looming over my shoulder. Because the longer this goes, the more and more I know I'm just going to have to accept what someone gives me.
Yeah, I mean, that's the difficult part. It's knowing that the Chicago Bears have to get off of Justin Fields.
Right.
If I'm sitting around and I'm a GM, you're like, I'm just going to wait it out.
Right.
I'm going to wait it out until I have an opportunity to give up the least amount of assets to get one of the more talented quarterbacks in the entire NFL. And so if I'm Ryan Poles, right now I'm working the phones. Right now I'm having the conversations. Because if we know it's not a secret you're going to draft Caleb Williams, if I'm a GM of the other 31 teams, they know as well. And so they're going to try to play that against you. And so for me, it's finding a team right now who's willing to work before they can start looking at the Kirk Cousins, before they can start looking at the Ryan Tannehills to give yourself an opportunity to maximize Justin Fields.
Ryan Tannehill. I mean, okay, look, let me take
you this. We know it's not close.
Here's what I'm going to say. Okay. Yes, I understand. I need to buy a team so I can.
Clearly, and have them run it.
I understand what you're saying. So let's say Kmart is the general manager of the Bears, and you and I both need quarterbacks. We're GMs of other teams. Yes, we both know that she needs to trade him away. So we're thinking, well, we can fleece her on that front. But at the same time, well, I want him, and you want him. So if I really want him and you really want him, that's a market. Yeah. We're going to bid back and forth against each other either way. He's a better option than almost anything else.
Yeah, but
out there.
Also, too, though, the market dictates how much you're worth.
Go ahead, Lewis.
But Greeny, I think therein lies the problem, right? Or therein lies the discussion. How much do people want him right now? Yeah. And I think the market is telling you kind of like what Graz has pointed to, what Schefter has pointed to. And I can't confirm per se, but I can say this. Look, if someone really wanted Justin, then the action would be a little bit hotter around him right now, which I hate. I hate for the kid, for sure. But the market is telling you right now that teams are going, hey, look, we like you, but we don't like you enough to move right now. The same way we may like it, like Kirk Cousins enough to move on him right now and be aggressive with trying to acquire him. And I hate that fact, but the reality is what it is.
Yeah, and that's what it is. Like, not everybody has to see him the way we do.
Right.
But they should. Well, everyone should see him the way we do. He's so much better
than
the way people talk about
him. We're all in agreement, but here's the thing. You said I was the GM for the Bears. Keep in mind, as the GM of the Bears, I had the number one pick last year. And I gave it up to build around this quarterback that I'm now looking to get rid of. Like, I also have to make sure that I make the right move, the right compensation, so that I don't get crucified. I keep my job, get the right pick. So there's a lot of layers to this, and it's not as simple as, can Justin Fields play? We know we can play, but it's about compensation and what teams are willing to give up.
Listen, I don't want to. I'm not trying to insult
fed
anyone.
Up.
If I'm a Pittsburgh Steeler fan, and I think we could have Justin Fields for a song, and instead they bring in Ryan Tannehill to compete with Kenny Pickett, I'm going to have a major problem.
Greeny, I agree. Stranger things have happened. I said early on in the show, that's the move I make. But if I'm Omar Khan, the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm wondering, am I bidding against myself?
Exactly.
Like, what am I doing, and what am I giving up more than I need to give up to get Justin Fields.
I think therein lies the cat and mouse game.
Yes.
I understand that.
Greeny doesn't
want to
hear these facts.
I understand it. I'm just saying at some point how good the player is has to matter in this somewhere.
I agree
with you. Everyone stay where you are. Much more football as we go.
But it will.
Wake up call. Crazy game in Cleveland last night. Cavs trying to come back for an upset. Here's how it went.
LeVert with 10 on the shot clock. Back to DG. DG driving on Porzingis up with the left hand. No, Wade followed and slammed it home. Ball game. Cavs win in remarkable fashion. Cavaliers win 105-104 in one of the more remarkable victories you will ever see.
That's not overstating it. I mean, the Celtics had a 22-point lead in the fourth quarter of this game in Cleveland last night. So many things happened. We showed you the highlight off the top. They were, as a team, outscored by Dean Wade himself in the fourth quarter. He had 20 points. He was 7 of 7 from the floor. He had a career night, as we've been calling it all morning long, vintage D. Wade, just not the one that you expect. Here's Austin Rivers. So we've talked about that game.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and let me see if I can recruit you to my side. Because I walked out of the building with J.J. Redick yesterday.
Yep.
You know, you're a Duke guy. And I brought this up, and he kind of made fun of me. I still don't trust the Celtics.
Yeah.
I've sat there and watched it with my own eyes. Each of the last 2 years, I was in the building doing the NBA games, and I'm watching them losing games they should win. And yeah. I get that they're better now. I get that they've added more pieces. But I look at what's going on in Milwaukee. I look at them getting hot at the right time. Giannis, who I trust. Lillard, who I trust. I feel like we need to tiptoe towards saying I like the Bucks to win the East, not the Celtics, as good as they've been.
It's not far-fetched. I mean, listen, Boston's been the best team all season. They're the best team in the East, I still believe, right now. I think Milwaukee's just now getting into their groove. You know, when you look at a roster that Boston has put together, particularly the starting lineup, they're probably the best balanced starting lineup in basketball. Mm-hmm. The only other team that's even in that conversation would be Denver.
Right.
But there are concerns with Boston, especially when we talk about playoffs, the collapse of last year to Miami, them closing games last night, up 20. You know, Dean Wade, credit to him, he had a great game, but that's a guy that even after his 10th point should have been cut off. Their lack of making adjustments, talk about Tatum's crunch time percentage, I think it's like 33%, the lowest of any guy that's shot over 45 shots in crunch time. These are concerns. You know, him and Brown have to prove that this duo can win games, particularly in the playoffs. So we'll see.
Yeah, look, I'm not trying to shortchange their regular season. They lose a game like once a month. So I'm not trying to make a big deal out of last night. All I'm saying is when it comes down to it, I love the guy on the left. That, I'm the biggest Drew Holiday
that's
fan
what,
in
that's
the world.
What, to that, me, that puts was, him over the
I know,
top a little
scares
bit.
Yeah. Me. It makes me nervous. That's why I want you to come with me, because I'll feel better. There's safety in numbers when you make outlandish picks like that. Let me go to the West, the other one. Because the world is basically already penciled in. Boston on one side, Denver on the other.
Yep.
I watched Phoenix last night. I watched KD go crazy. I watched the Suns beat the Nuggets in overtime last night. You put these two guys, I don't know what they're going to get out of Beal, but if these two guys are right, when they get into it, I give them a real shot in a seven-game series against Denver.
Devin and Kevin are scary. This team, to me, is one of those teams that, you know, look, they're a game and a half in, almost in the play-in. This is a team that you do not want to play first round. The firepower that they have, and then you talk about the accommodating assets that they have around them. Grayson Allen, shooter, having a career year. Mm-hmm. Eric Gordon, Royce O'Neal was a big pickup along with Nurkic. They have good role players there. And then obviously you have Devin and Kevin holding it down. We're talking about a supreme team that can go into the playoffs that might not have the regular season success. They're like 12th in offensive rating, which is kind of odd.
Yeah.
But you could have been.
Always, they've been hurt.
They've been hurt most of the season, and it hasn't really. Exactly.
Yeah.
But you put them in a seven game series with that much firepower that these three guys behind us, it's not a team I'd want to play.
That's what I mean. Both these teams, Milwaukee on one side and Phoenix on the other, they just have to get right at the right time.
Yep, that's all it is.
There's still time left for them to put together a run. These are the two teams to watch. As far as I see it, great having you here.
Always. Austin.
Actually, stay close by. I got a trivia question for you in a minute.
Let me
remind everybody, we got two good games tonight. You're going to see the Rockets and the Clippers 7:30 Eastern. Then you will see Giannis. You will see Steph. Bucks and Warriors tonight. Countdown tips off your coverage 7 Eastern on ESPN. Coming up, Dak says he feels attacked. Stephen A. is firing back. You don't want to miss it. Stephen A., hilarious. We will hear that in just a moment. But first, here we go. The pressure's on you, Austin
Rivers.
It's a Duke question. By total points, who was Duke's all-time leading scorer
put me on the spot.
In the NBA? Hold the thought. We'll come back with the answer next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify?
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Austin is feeling it. I can tell how badly he wants to get this right. Coach K is watching, by the way, so the pressure is on. By total points, who is Duke's all-time leading scorer in the NBA?
I'm going Kyrie Irving.
You were thinking through the logic of it. A lot of points, a lot of years.
Yeah.
It's a good guess. It's not right.
Whoa.
The answer is Grant.
Yo, I said Grant Hill.
Not when it counted, you didn't.
Why you do that to me, bro?
RC, get over here. You talked
about it. RC, come down here, man.
You said he's
rotating.
RC, get in here. I saw it happen. No. He said Grant Hill, and RC, you talked him out of it.
I did not.
Yes, you
did. I told him, I said, Grant Hill played a long time, and Austin Rivers, who actually went to Duke, tells me, yeah, but his role changed. I can't make Austin Rivers make a decision. That's actually surprising to me, though.
I feel like that was your fault. Elton Brand is second. Kyrie is third.
CB2, but
it's Grant Hill. Elton Brand.
Kyrie's third?
Kyrie is third, and he will pass them both.
Yeah, he'll end up being the all-time.
If you could,
I'm technically right.
Technically not. Let's do this again next year. You'll have it right.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Ask me the same question.
Oh, Hembo's too happy, and that makes me unhappy. Okay. Let's go back to the NFL here. Let's do an all-Cowboys edition of Sound Off. Lots of interesting stuff. Let's start. You just have to hear our buddy Stephen A., right? So Dak was talking about feeling attacked because people question their culture. Stephen A. responded, it's just funny. Just listen.
The coach is high, honestly, and the coach is great from my standpoint. That's something I've always bragged on and took pride in. So if there's questions of that, concerns on that, I feel attacked. I'm sure some guys in the locker room do.
You damn right it's an attack against you because you should be better than you have been as a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys come postseason time, and you haven't been. And the fact that y'all could walk around with a straight face talk about there ain't no culture problems is evidence that there is a culture problem.
Stephen A., in that
the shirt
tie,
makes it so
saying
much
you're
better.
Damn right.
Exactly.
It's just a wonderful moment.
Exactly.
The man is a national treasure, right? And yeah. At the end of the day, you know who else is? Look, just to make one serious point about that, no one answers questions better than Dak Prescott, right? Yeah. We're sitting here talking about people who represent the organization. Like, Dak gets everything right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you think about, you know, right now, congratulations to Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
He's a new father.
Oh,
you know,
baby MJ.
And so, yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And so now you look at Dak Prescott, he does have a different perspective. I think his leadership stepped up last year. His play obviously stepped up. And when he's speaking about the culture, a lot of times you're talking about what happens in the locker room. How do I vibe with my guys? Does my leadership resonate? And for the entire regular season, it did.
Yeah.
Going into the playoffs, we were very excited about Dak Prescott and his MVP caliber play. We were excited about this defense that we understood could get after the passer once this team got up. But Kimberly mentioned it early. What do you do in the most important moment?
Yeah.
And this team, this head coach, this organization has failed. It's more entitlement to me than it is culture.
All right. That's great. And I did not know that about Dak, so congratulations to him and to our friend Uncle Tad, who's always with us as well. Okay. But that's not the one I wanted you to hear. RG3 with us yesterday, okay? You know, I ask for so little in life.
Uh-oh.
Can I get the Cowboys to make a deep playoff run just once? Can I get them to
that
the
might
Super
be
Bowl
it,
just
that,
once?
Yeah, that might be.
RG3 has the move that'll get them there. Listen.
When you specifically talk about Saquon Barkley, he's a three-down back that isn't just flash, right? He brings to the table what Jerry Jones wants because over the last three eliminations for the Cowboys, they've been outrushed by 149 yards. So with Saquon Barkley, I think of all the backs that are going to be free agents, he gives the Cowboys the best opportunity to go and win a Super Bowl. They get closer with Saquon than they do with any other running back.
Why are you raising your hand?
Because Saquon Barkley don't play no damn linebacker.
Well, but I get that part of it.
No.
No, no. Because last year, we talked about it was you.
Yes.
What, Tony Pollard, he's a Ferrari. He's a Maserati. Why are you going to take him to the Monster, right?
Well, tell me this. So wait.
Right. You said they needed a Okay, so what are we saying about Saquon? He could be that dude.
Yeah,
also,
but he can't stop the run, Kimberly.
Okay, that is true. I hear you there.
It doesn't address all their problems, but it addresses a big one. Of them, that's exactly right. Lewis, I love it. Once again, you're my general manager. Take one to the Cowboys.
No.
Make it happen.
No.
Why no?
Nope.
Why?
Because he's a curmudgeon.
I think Dallas doesn't need to make a move at running back where it's just like this one guy is going to fix it. It's going to be a committee approach anyway. Look, I think they need a hammer. They need a Derrick Henry type to go along with a guy who on third down can catch balls out of the backfield. And I don't think they need to go ahead and extend themselves to get a Saquon Barkley. I love Saquon as much as anyone. I was someone who supported Dave Gettleman drafting him. But at this point, that is not what puts Dallas over the hump. It's just not. They can go a more economical approach and get the same kind of production. They need an attitude back. That's what they need on offense. And at Derrick Henry, he brings an attitude and makes you change yours or check yours, which is, do I really want this? Do I really want to deal with this in the fourth quarter? Because you know what? Isn't that how teams play Dallas?
Don't teams play Dallas with an attitude? They play them that way.
That's also the big thing when you're talking about the tone of physicality that they need to set offensively. When this team was good, especially during Dak's tenure, it was when Ezekiel Elliott was the best back in the game. Yeah. It was when he was a workhorse, what you could get first and second down. Saquon Barkley will add a dynamic element to this team, but it won't be much different from what Tony Pollard added two years ago.
Can I make a point? Yes, it will. Because he's built to last and Pollard is not. And I will say this further. Kmart, unfortunately you did a Stephen A. imitation there more than you did a Ryan Clark imitation.
I got confused.
But you were exactly right. Here's the bottom line of it.
Yes, babe.
How did the 49ers go from being good to being great? They brought in Christian McCaffrey, who was a playmaker in the backfield, and that's what Saquon is. He is as close to that as any other player in the league. He catches. Yes, he is.
But that team also played better defense.
That team had a better signal caller.
I do believe when we're talking about the talent level of those two running backs, the way that they can both be explosive and dynamic, Saquon Barkley on that tier. But the teams were so different. They called plays differently.
Lewis.
One of the teams that been to a Super Bowl and an NFC Championship in the last 3 years.
I got you. Listen, I'm just talking about Saquon. Lewis, Saquon Barkley got Daniel Jones.
$90 million. Greeny.
What?
Greeny, listen to me. Greeny, guess what else? Guess what else San Francisco has that Dallas doesn't have?
Oh, I know.
San Francisco has Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw. Dallas doesn't have anybody like that.
Talk to him, GM.
Lewis. I know. I'm not saying Saquon addresses all their problems. No. I'm saying he is would be a major addition and a piece they need.
Also, and what I'm saying, too, for 17 weeks, this team didn't have an offensive problem.
Now we're trying to think of that. All I know is
Jerry Jones said, I'm all in this year. You know who Jerry Jones didn't even make a call on last year? Derrick Henry.
Yes.
So I'm not saying Greeny's 1,000% right, but I'm just letting you know that Saquon would make things interesting.
Right, first, I'm just going to keep talking about this as we continue. I have to send it over to them. Was it a bad game or a bad sign for Boston last night? RC, JJ, Austin, Kmart, Lewis, and John Cena coming up top of the hour. Did I say Cena?
Cena!
Hot Cena!
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, featured lineup Saturday, we got the NHL, Penguins and Bruins. We got college hoops, Duke and Carolina. We got the Suns and the Celtics. We got UFC 299 in Miami. We're going to be jam-packed. John Senna, don't be mad at me. I'm sorry, I was reading fast. Cars, did you say Ryan Clark compared Tony Pollard to?
Ryan Clark said he's like a Maserati. He's like a Ferrari, an Aston Martin.
You do realize that Ryan Clark is from Louisiana, right? That's a Brooklyn accent that you were doing that you have somehow attached.
I'm not real familiar with Baton Rouge, honestly. It just comes off the tongue.
Brooklyn. One way or another, listen, you can take the girl out of Brooklyn, but I don't know about the rest of it. All right, that's all the time we have. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.